Hello, everyone, and welcome to Name Redacted. This is week 13, episode 2. This is our midweek episode, and we are doing it from Ardmore Coffee, as we have pretty much been doing it, not super consistently, but at least fairly consistently.
I don't even know why you were laughing.
Because he was doing the sip. Anyway, as always, I am one of your hosts, Alexander Fulmer, and here with me, as always, are...
Colin Norris.
And...
I really wanted to come up with a cool pseudonym, but I didn't have enough time to.
Almost there.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
Oh, Chris Nielsen.
That's actually my real name, not a pseudonym.
BT Dubs.
It sucks that, like, me and Chris still don't have nicknames, but people who've been on the podcast once or
have
twice.
Nicknames.
Dude, Ian got one the first
Streamer.
Time. Streamer.
The whole time I was at G-Tech, I didn't get a TJ nickname.
I had one. I had a nickname at G-Tech. And it made no sense to me, but it
my
was...
my department head had a nickname for me. It's fuckhead.
I got a nickname. I did some not temp work, but like work for hire for this company that takes arcade games to like corporate events, and they load in like they've got cool stuff. Like they've got like these racing games, and they just got like Pac-Man or whatever, and they bring in like pool tables and like Guitar Hero for a while.
It's sort of like you just want to bring in Pac-Man and be like, remember when you had a dream?
Yeah. Well, they have this Caddyshack branded golf simulator.
Oh, nice.
And so sometimes gophers would pop out and eat your ball or whatever. So
that's really cool.
That's awesome.
But so this was the first job I ever had, and I only did it about five or six
times.
Can't
look cool drinking out of
randomly.
This cup.
It was fun though because like. I got to just sit there and play games and make the games look fun to get them to play.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were loading out one time, and there was this multicade.
Was it the multicade with a trackball and the joystick?
Yes.
Yes!
And we were using the service elevator, and it was about to slam down on this thing, and nobody could get it in there in time. And so I just, like, body-checked the thing and threw it in there, and they called me Pac-Man after that.
Nice. But yeah, so today is first of the month.
It's the first of the month.
It's our first of the month episode that's midweek, which means that it is yet again time for listener mail and questions.
I think I just came up with a good sting for midweek to like put in editing.
Uh-huh.
Like when we have people who want to make stuff for us.
Yeah.
Like a really, really heavy, like, hardcore breakdown that's just like, midweek! I don't know. It's the coffee. and the beer.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's a makeshift Four Loko.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, like I said, this is our midweek episode number one for the month, which means it is
listener
questions
mail.
And listener mail, which is something we get really excited about because we enjoy hearing from you guys a whole lot. Like, it's actually one of the things that we enjoy most about doing this is you know, having other people that are interested enough in us to... give us subjects and topics and questions and just off the wall random questions.
I love it. Like the more that we get like the questions that some of these questions that I have on deck,
yeah.
Like it's so much fun.
Like some of them are really, really good and like solid questions that are, you know, things people either want to know about us or our opinions on things in terms of like serious opinions about stuff like Tanya.
Or they just want to troll us.
Or they just want to troll us, yeah.
Which is fine.
Tanya is the perfect example of somebody who wants to actually get real opinions on what we do and how we feel about
that
things.
That fight, marry, kill she came up
oh,
with.
Oh, that was
Mario
so
Brothers
good.
Fight, marry, kill was...
The past couple have been awesome.
The past couple ones have been really good. And then we have people like our friend Charlie who loves to troll us.
Well, the first question...
Some of them are pretty good.
First question he asked was pretty legitimate because I actually have an opinion on this.
Yes.
But
he asked me a fantasy fight scenario, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah. Because we used to sit around like when we were younger.
Yeah.
We would sit around at we would get drunk and go to Waffle House and we would play who would win for hours. So like my best friend and I, besides Alex and Nielsen, but like my high school best friend, who is still my best friend. I feel like I'm just rambling about this. we would sit and play who would win for hours.
And who would win is a really fun game, especially for a podcast, because sometimes you guys are going to give us stuff that we would never think of trying to pit against each other.
Like who would win, like Doctor Strange versus Dazzler.
I think we're talking about...
I love that Dazzler has become our go-to because of how much I love referring to that terrible, terrible piece of shit character.
I think we're working on setting up a really cool one for an episode, right? That's something we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Stay tuned.
Yes. Keep listening in for that one, because that one's going
to
be fun.
To quote Nickelodeon, stick tune.
Oh. Going back to stick
stickly. Simmer down.
Sibidana. All right, so today they actually, my co-host mentioned something that I thought was, I guess, appropriate for the beginning of the episode for this, because we got a message or a comment from one of my friends, who is also one of the friends of the guys on the podcast and our friends back in Greensboro. One of my skaters from my company, Joshua Fuentes, sent me a very self-indulgent question, really.
He totally just gave you license to talk about yourself for like 5 minutes.
Not only that, but really, if it's going to come from Josh, it's going to be something like that. Because he doesn't give a shit about anything else.
It was literally, I was expecting that question, or do you guys want to talk about how awesome I am at skateboarding?
Yeah, like, Josh is a skater.
Which I wouldn't mind doing.
No. Yeah, because he's... I want to talk about that time I pressure flipped a dancer.
Yeah, like, dude, he tray flipped my dancer. I couldn't believe it. I was like, how did you do that? So we, so Josh Fuentes is a good friend of ours, and also a just insanely good skater. Like,
we endorse him.
Yeah.
In terms of we...
I sponsor him. Personally,
but, you yeah. do. But us as Name Redacted Podcast, we give him our seal of approval, and that's it, because we don't have anything else to give him.
Yeah.
Except for maybe a button when we get
those. Can we make a wax seal to just put on a piece of paper and give it to people?
I think yes. that'd be great.
Seal of approval.
Yeah.
And make it be shaped like an actual, like, ocean seal.
And then it'll be great, because it'll be like a form letter, and then instead of having to put anybody's name on it, we'll just put a line of just black Sharpie.
What I think it's great is just be letterhead. Like, all redacted letterhead. And then just a wax seal.
Actually, yeah. We just came up with something clever. Go
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Fucking A.
And, of course, I made the terrible suggestion of, oh, let's make it like a seal from, like, the ocean.
Because you spend too much time on Tumblr.
I think
I don't even use it
we
anymore.
We could put a seal on the actual seal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Like, just in the corner. Like, hey, what's up?
A seal with a bandit mask?
Yes!
Seal with a bandit mask and a thumbs up, and
he's the seal of approval.
I've got a really, really, really bad joke that I want to share.
Go for it.
What do seals and people without parents have in common?
Oh.
It's not. It's not even funny.
Yeah, it's just.
Is
bad.
It sad?
It's just bad.
I actually heard it from a kid in Greensboro who is an orphan.
Oh wow!
So that's how we chose to tell people that he was. He actually used to hang out with some people we know.
Fulmer, I caught up in my head today, and I went into that weird comic theory part of my brain since the last episode, and I realized why you think that my Philip K. Dick joke is not funny.
What's your Philip K. Dick joke again?
I like to tell science fiction jokes. About Dick.
Okay, because I was hoping in my head, I was like, that really better be... I was like, in my head, because I'm a huge Philip K. Dick fan.
I didn't want it to be funny. That was the thing, is yeah. I wanted it to not be funny.
But the reason you didn't want it to be funny...
I almost explained it. Like, oh, that's funny, because Philip K. Dick, blah, 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 blah. I didn't know if you knew
that's
that.
Half of the joke, though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
then nobody gets it.
Yeah.
But the reason you don't think it's funny is because it's a pun.
I hate puns.
But it's really... Like, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but like... just.
But it's really funny.
Comic... theory perspective,
it's funny.
It's really fucking clever.
Yeah. It's a dick joke. Get it?
Especially because right, yeah. everybody else is like I posted it on Facebook one time and Vinnie Martin was like, oh really? Tell me one. And then I was like, I just did.
That was the joke.
That's the joke.
But yeah, so
what was the follow up joke that I put up?
I don't remember.
How do androids fall asleep?
Oh no.
By counting electric sheep. But it was just, that one wasn't supposed to be funny. It was just like, I kept making jokes yeah. about it for everybody who was in on it. Yeah. For him to just be like, why is this funny?
So, Fuentes asked a question on my Facebook, which, like I said, is self-indulgent for me and also very much telling of the only thing that he cares about. It says, tell us about Kitsune and what's up with the new location. For those of you who don't know, if this is your first podcast listening in or if you just haven't heard the episodes where I talk about it, I do own a small custom-build handmade skate shop company called Kitsune Longboards. It is on Facebook if you want to go check it out. I do everything by hand. I order my own wood, which is 16th-inch plies. I press them together in their own molds with a vacuum press, and I put all the like shapes, like concaves and lips and tails and edges, like everything, and then I cut it out myself, sand it down, do the edging, and then I'll either stencil paint it, or I'll have I have a lot of artist friends that will paint it for me if I ask them to.
You've gotten some, like, local...
I've gotten tattoo artists. I've gotten some local celebrity artists. I've gotten art students at UNCG and stuff to do it. I'm actually thinking that the Winston-Salem Arts Council is thinking about doing it once I get up and running. They wanted to do a whole art show with me.
A cool thing to do, just as a resource for you, ARF.
Yeah. ARF.
Arts for Art's Sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, definitely check those guys out.
So, in terms of this, what he's asking, I had to put it on pause for a little while because the basement in which I was working in for a while...
much better suited as a silkscreen shop.
It's much better suited as a silkscreen shop, which not is what for, it is now.
Not for epoxy fumes and sawdust
I use very, very... very temperamental and very finicky adhesive.
I would also say caustic.
It is caustic.
Noxious.
Well, actually, it's not that bad.
Not caustic. That's the wrong word. But
the part of the problem is that the door down there was caulked shut.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem with the epoxy isn't that bad. It's not the epoxy because the epoxy that I use is a marine grade epoxy, so it actually ventilates very well, and it's not noxious and it's not really fumy. The problem was if I ever had to do anything with fiberglassing, that was an issue, and also if I ever had to spray paint in the basement.
And the humidity was insane.
The humidity was awful. It made all of my boards
Even with the silk screening, when we're trying to dry out emulsifier, we need to put the screens like on top of the dehumidifier.
Yeah.
Do you guys use Plastisol or Watersol?
That's fine.
We'll talk about it later.
No, just the quick answer to that is we are transitioning to Plastisol. We just did a run of Plastisol that we've actually recalled because some of our bake times were messed up, so we're experimenting with that. That's where we're going.
Okay, cool.
A lot of my boards that I made there, in fact, every board that I made at that house, delammed. And for those of you who don't know what delamming is, I use about 9 pieces of 16th-inch natural maple plies, and when you put those together, you're supposed to put adhesive on each side of them and press them in a very, very high pressure system, so either a clamp system or a bar system, and I use vacuum pressing, which is called thin air, and when it delams, it means those pieces just start to separate, and my shit was delaming really bad constantly, so I had to stop working there.
That's really bad for flat landscaping, especially.
It's like, when it happens after a couple days, it's an issue. Every board eventually delams. That's just, if it doesn't snap first, it's going to delam. Yeah. It just is. I had to stop working on it. So what I did was I moved the shop here. It's not done yet because I'm doing a full shop. I'm not just doing like, I'm converting this little space into like something similar. I'm not doing that. We're taking the garage outside.
And we're trying to get funding for a lot of projects.
Yeah, and I just don't have the money to do all of it right now because we're funding, personally, the three of us are funding this for a lot of the things coming up that we're going to be doing. And also, we're going to be trying to do a comic book and we're going to be trying to do a bunch of other stuff. And also, I have to,
we're going on tour.
Yeah, we're going to go on tour. And, I'm funding a few of my own projects as well. And with all this money getting
thrown around. We're spread
very thin, yeah. So it's going to be a while. But basically what I'm doing is I'm turning the garage in the back of my parents' house into a fully functional, climate-controlled climate-controlled and pressure-controlled and moisture-controlled environment, like ventilated and all that good stuff, so I can do full process without having to worry at all. It's going to take a little while, but it is going to be here in Winston rather than in Greensboro. So if you guys are interested in skating, please let me know. I have some people that you can get in touch with to skate with, and also when I get up and running, you guys can order boards from me and all that kind of cool shit.
We may even have a sweet name redacted board giveaway sometime.
Yeah. I think we're going to do a few. We're going to do a few board giveaways.
Only the board, not the full set.
No.
Because we can't afford trucks and wheels.
No. You guys can buy that shit yourself.
Yeah, sorry.
And if you don't skate, hang it on your wall and be proud of it.
Even if you do skate, we are not funding your habit. As I tell people that bum cigarettes off of me.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the question that was directed at me for today. And I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to Colin. Let Colin go ahead and field some of the ones
he got. All right, let's see.
Google decided to not be Google.
Yeah, Google's not here today.
I got plans and a life and a girlfriend. Shut up.
I have all those things, too.
Your girlfriend doesn't live here. number
these
one.
These are my plans.
These, yes. All right, so.
And this is my life.
Have you checked the email?
I will do that right now.
Yeah, check the email, because I put that link on the Facebook as well. Our first question, I was just distracted.
I saw the slow head turn. What happened there?
Our first question comes from a very good friend of mine, I would say now a friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
Comes from Charlie Johnson. What up, Charlie? I know you're probably not listening to this, but that's cool.
You might.
He said he wants to know, who do you regard as the greatest frontman of all time? And I think that's a very good question.
I do like that question a lot.
Because there's so many answers.
What's going to be Adam Collis? No.
Yes.
He's actually really good.
He's gotten amazing.
When he bled into his mouthpiece at the 420 show.
Oh, man. That was
amazing.
The 420 show, the whole time I was watching Adam, like, I got flashbacks of every Black Flag video that I've watched with Henry Rollins.
Absolutely.
Like, dude.
Yeah. He just, there was something,
he came into his own at that show.
The spirit, it were, like, just overtook him. It was beautiful to watch.
This is always an interesting question for me. Like, or these types of questions, because there's a significant difference between greatest and best.
I was going along the lines in my brain of favorite and greatest. So that's where my line is drawn, is favorite versus greatest, because I don't believe that my favorite anything is the best version of that thing ever.
Well, but even best is saying...
But we're operating under, this is from our opinion.
Yeah.
Well, but it's still interesting, because even if you say, like, my favorite is one level, best is the objective version of favorite.
Yeah.
And then greatest factors in mass appeal.
Yeah.
It factors in. And so that's actually subjective again, but subjective, culturally subjective.
Yeah.
You know, rather than...
By the way, my Gmail is not pulling up, because this place is probably a little bit of a dead zone for me.
I'm on Wi-Fi. I'll look it up.
Okay, cool.
Greatest frontman. This came out of so left field. I should just have a ready answer for this.
Shouldn't you? That's exactly. I was like, I'm going to say this person, and then I really thought about it. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't.
You guys read these questions already? I didn't. So
I read them last night after about a 40. So none of them really stuck.
There's just so many different .
Yeah,
because what I look
it.
For in, like, a punk frontman is different than somebody I'm looking for that does, like, arena rock.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, Robert Plant's fucking amazing for what he does, but there's a lot of people that are a hell of a lot better than that that aren't ever going to be as big.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's hard to,
I've got my favorite and I've got my opinion of the greatest already locked and loaded in this one, if you guys want to.
Yeah, go.
I might be too.
Take it.
I may be too close to this to give a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Because in all technicality, in your band, even though you're not the front man, you're kind of the front man.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something I watch for a lot. And so just the experience I have of seeing so many bands playing.
Focus in your band, oddly enough, is more on you than the singer, I feel, in a lot of situations.
Right.
But anyway, in terms of favorite, and this is very telling of my personal experience with shows, Jordan from La Dispute is my favorite frontman ever. Mm-hmm. He is so fantastic because he is so involved, and he's so passionate, and he's just got such energy, and I love it. And as much as I'd love to say Claudio Sanchez was my favorite, he's not, because he's not... Seeing Coheed and Cambria is not a I'm going to see Claudio thing. It's an I'm going to see the band thing.
Right, because
he doesn't have that kind of presence. He doesn't move around a lot.
No, because he's playing guitar.
Yeah, and it's not that.
Got it.
And for my opinion on the greatest, Freddie Mercury, in my opinion, is the greatest frontman.
I had a feeling that was going to come up.
Yeah,
he's up there for me as well.
Freddie Mercury, in my opinion, is just the most insanely charismatic and soulful and just driving personality on stage.
And if I agree, he's not my pick for greatest, but if you want evidence of that, Queen live at Wembley.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And there's something really just, there's something so haunting about the way that he's able to get Queen to do those melodies with the vocal harmonies. And the ability for him to carry that was just, it was so incredibly, like, is enchanting almost.
Yeah.
And so, in my opinion, Freddie Mercury, just...
All-time greatest.
All-time greatest, in my opinion.
Cool. I won't disagree with that.
Yeah. I don't... I'm still trying to wrap my head around who I think is the greatest. That's a big category.
Can you vamp for a second while I use the restroom?
Yeah.
Sorry. Beer and coffee.
I'm going to answer the question.
I'm going to answer the question.
You're not going to hear my answer.
I just...
Did you say he wants to hear my answer?
I don't know. He's going to pee.
I literally have to vamp now.
Well, I mean, that's fine. but, I mean, in terms of this question, like Chris said, there's so much that goes into it. Because you can't just think about, like, oh, well, I've seen this band 100 times, and this guy's awesome live.
Kind of to explain my pick that I'll reveal when Colin walks out of the bathroom, apparently. like I said, I'm still struggling with greatest, but I think what makes a damn good frontman is somebody who is captivating when they're high energy, captivated when they're barely moving, and someone who can direct your attention to the appropriate sideman at the time.
I think that that's one of the reasons why I pick Jordan for my favorite, is because he's not just my favorite, but he's really good because he does that. Even when he's not moving at all and he's barely even talking into the mic, you just, you're so focused on him. And then when he, like, leaves it off, he'll actually, like, when the parts pick up and get heavy, one of the guitarists will step forward and he'll, like, just kind of, like, throw his head forward and just kind of bob backwards a little bit and just let the guitarist come up, and then you immediately switch from him to the guitarist, so that's a good way. Like, a frontman isn't just going to be like, attention on me all the time. Like, that's not what a frontman does.
Yeah.
And another person who did that super well was Big D from Big D and the Kids Table. Amazing frontman. Just amazing frontman.
So, with that criteria, actually, what you said, and I don't know how I didn't think about this, because this person is, in my opinion, the best frontman ever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird. But when you said you wanted to pick Claudio Sanchez, but he can't do much because he has a guitar in his hand.
Yeah.
Tom Gabel, Large Jane Grace, from Against Me.
Oh. Okay.
Incredible.
She
stands still.
I've never seen them play, so I can't speak to her talent.
Stands still, playing guitar, and it is the most captivating thing you will ever see.
I would like to also point out your respect for calling her a her.
Well, yeah. I'll get to that in a second, because there's actually a very specific reason, especially with her. But, dude, every second of it, just the tiniest little head moves, and just every single, like, there's very little movement, but every tiny movement is so deliberate that you can't not watch. And so my thing specifically with her is the fact that there's a lot of times where I think that this is not a positive character trait of mine, but if I don't respect somebody, I generally don't show respect for them. Tom Gabel is someone who was, you would go see Against Me play, and after shows, he would just be miserable. He would never talk to anybody, whatever. And then
when she transitioned,
the transition, she was in the venue, walked off stage, and just talked to everybody.
That's amazing.
Was having the best time.
Yeah.
And, like, her wife's happier now. And just, like, their whole family's happier now. And it's crazy because, like, oh, well, my husband had a sex change and took a different last name, and it made our whole family better.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome, and I do have a lot of respect for that.
That's moving. That's actually really sweet. Yeah, I like that. okay.
You can answer the question better.
You gonna go pee?
Yeah,
you're gonna agree with me, so... I'm not pandering when I say this because of the person who asked this question.
Yeah.
but in my, like, out of everybody that I've ever seen footage of and watched, Henry Rollins.
I was going to say, I had a feeling just, Rollins was coming up for you.
Rollins is just watching him back in the day when he first started with Flag, just that pure raw energy. It was just, I mean, like, you just watch it and you just, like, you're like, oh, I would run around and punch stuff and, like, just... God, I just love watching Rollins. Like, it moves me to tears almost.
Yeah, he's one of the more impressive people on the planet.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
and I think the more, like, you kind of have to... Not kind... In my opinion, my estimation, the more you learn about Rollins, the more captivating of a frontman he is. Like, if you... Like, I got to read a little bit of Get in the Van that my buddy Charlie has, and, like... You read that and you're like, holy shit. And then you go back and you look at the footage that they had in American Hardcore, the movie.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like, here's my objection to
like,
that.
Like, you could just watch, like, when they were on the West Coast playing, and, like, this West Coast punk rock kid was, like, punching Rollins and all, like, in the face on stage, and Rollins just stops singing and just starts wailing. Like, that kind of raw intensity and just, like, animalistic aggression about everything, it's just really captivating.
My objection to that is the fact that, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
But the reason that I don't put him quite on top is some of what we just talked about, where the chemistry between Henry Rollins and Greg Ginn is so forced. And
I would not disagree with you.
And so, he has a hard time not hogging all of the attention. And some of that's Greg Ginn's fault, some of that's his, because Greg Ginn also has such a strong personality that I think that clash detracts from the whole thing. And so, that's kind of a weird criticism, but I think that's sort of...
No, I completely... Because when Rollins...
if you look at somebody like...
When Rollins was in Black Flag, it was not about Greg Ginn or Descandera anymore. It was about...
And that's the thing, is if you look at, Rollins. Keith Morris is a great frontman, not Black Flag era. I think Keith Morris in Circle Jerks is amazing.
Yeah.
But if you look at the stint when Dez was the frontman, like, as far as, like, a live show perspective, I think Dez was my favorite singer. Having said that, like, Keith is my favorite singer for the band.
Okay.
But I think Dez was the best front man for the band.
I think that's why
Greg got along.
I think it was beneficial when Rollins started Rollins' band. I think it was really beneficial for him because he could be the focal point of everything.
Right. Just like when Danzig left the Misfits.
Exactly. But I mean, it's like, number one, Henry Rollins is physically imposing. He's a big dude. And when you look at the rest of the band, Greg Ginn and Descandera are not big dudes. So, of course, your eye is automatically going to be drawn. And you're going to be drawn to the dude wearing black short shorts, running around punching kids in the face with long, greasy black hair.
I just remembered something when you were talking about the girl from Against Me. Remember Paranoia Dance Party?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
The front man, quote unquote, front girl for them. Holy crap.
I was never more impressed with the first EP that I'd ever heard.
Oh my God, Paranoia Dance Party.
I heard about
Paranoia
Dance Party 2 or 3 years before I got to meet them and they came through. Because my cousin lives in the Tampa area and he just like took out this band. And he was hard.
Wait, something good came out of Tampa?
Dude, I literally...
I don't know, they're not actually from Tampa.
I don't know if I could even...
I love their music.
In my brain, I didn't know I could fathom this in 2013. It was a band ahead of their time.
It really was.
Which is crazy, because I didn't think that was a thing anymore.
For all of our listeners who are completely lost.
Yeah.
There was a band called Paranoia Dance Party, and
they were technically ska-core, but not in the sense of... Generally, the term ska-core means a hardcore punk band.
With horns.
With horns. But these guys were actually, post-hardcore with horns. So you'd be skanking and throwing fists.
Yeah.
And that's even that is not...
It doesn't do it justice.
That's a literal description.
Yeah. It doesn't fit into, whenever you talk about a ska band, everybody wants to throw out, you guys first wave, second wave, two-tone, what's up? And they just don't fit that, any of those
molds.
It's
just like corporate. Corporate doesn't fit either. No. Because corporate does everything.
Well, it's kind of funny because you can hear...
Corporate does fit. Yeah. Corporate fits the mold of the Mighty Boss Ten's first album.
It does. I'm not gonna lie on that. But, I mean, there's some stuff that are from
not
corporate...
Not a bad thing.
There's some stuff that about corporate is decidedly first wave. And there's some stuff about corporate is decidedly two-tone.
Yeah.
And then there's stuff about corporate that's decidedly third wave.
There's,
and some of it's just not ska.
Not ska.
Well, they're all music majors except for, two of them.
Yep.
And they've all been doing music for forever, and that chorale they have at the beginning, oh my God, where we all just sit down in a little powwow pile and just listen to the 2-minute chorale that they do. Oh God,
especially at CYP House, because everybody's outside in between bands smoking, so they got to play.
I love it
when they open with Guns of Navarone.
When they open
with the Scott of Light song, Guns of Navarone,
not to alienate anybody who doesn't know these guys, but I've had a great time just continuing to get closer with them.
Yeah, they're all great dudes too.
Well, and they're coming from a perspective where they're music first.
Yeah.
And they're just now hitting their stride on performance, and they're doing some amazing things.
Adam Collis, man, has become such a fantastic showman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because I'm on the opposite side of it.
Yeah.
And so I come from performance first background,
right.
And I'm just slowly getting more and more and more into music. So it's really cool being able to talk to each other, and he's excited about stuff that's old hat to me, but also the core of my art, and then vice versa, and it's so much fun to be able to interact like with them on that level.
It's really funny too, because the two people in their band that really give off high energy show presence are him and Cheston. Like, those are the two dudes that give off really high energy show presence, and it's the same thing that Chris was talking about.
Well,
with,
and Alex.
Well, but I don't. But he's now he's also, a fill-in.
Yeah, like, no, I'm just kidding, dude.
But like,
Alex is my bass player.
Yes,
for anybody who doesn't
and,
know.
And Alex filled a gap that was necessary and just
for over a year,
just sort of became permanent.
Yeah,
because
I personally love to play bass for Corbett, but that's never gonna happen.
Well,
so.
Alex had to fill that gap because Pokemon and girls.
Yeah, because Pokemon and girls.
And that's all I'm gonna say.
And so basically, what I love about that band is, you don't even need the high energy from the rest of the band to pay attention to them. When John Moore has a solo, he's the only thing in the room.
Yeah.
He's the only thing in the room.
Yeah.
Same with Sean, when
and on
Sean
stage,
goes on one.
And on stage, I'm going to be an actor faggot for a second. on stage, it's called giving focus.
Yeah.
And they've become
blocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. When somebody else is talking, you don't completely disengage from them, but you are giving them focus.
Yeah.
And they've so come into their own now. Like, maybe it's just for the fact, simple fact, that I know their music so well at this point because I've heard it over and over again, but I know who to look at.
Dude,
you know?
At the beginning of every song, I can't stop staring at Mikey.
Yeah.
I can't stop looking at Mike G. At the beginning of every song, because his roles around the kit are just so technical.
Well, a lot of that also accounts, I don't know how we're just like talking about Corbett now, but I think
because we got other questions to get to.
A lot of that can be accounted to by not only are they good at physically giving focus to somebody else,
mm-hmm. yeah,
but the way they're very talented, more than almost anybody I know, at arranging music.
Oh God!
So that
they're the best.
So that I'm not even just the songwriting, but the arrangements.
Yeah.
So like the songs are structured in a way that naturally lends itself to, oh, it's over here. No, it's over there. No, it's over here.
Also, their ability to rearrange on the fly.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. It's like, hey, let's just drop tempo, drop to half tempo, and we'll play an acoustic set. What? all right, let's move on to another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Our second question by my buddy Jay, who I used to work with at a tattoo shop. Hey, Jay. He now works at Seven Sagas Tattoo as their piercer. Go see him. He's a very talented piercer. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? And he demands an answer.
I'd say a woodchuck could chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
Yeah, we're going to put a stamp on that.
Seal of approval.
Okay. Next question, also from Charlie.
Also half its body weight.
I would like to say half its body weight plus 2d6. Charlie Johnson again, and if your lips were anywhere else on your body, where would you put them?
You know, I've actually thought about that before.
And it's so funny that he said that.
I bet Capers has thought about it.
Yeah,
Capers has totally thought about it.
As far as my sex organs being on the opposite side of your body comment that I made on Sunday, this is obvious. This is so timely.
Oh, man.
I remember when I was saying that, and Capers was just looking at me like...
He was so enthralled by the idea. He was like, yeah, dude. fingers. I'd put them on my fingertips.
Like you'd have 10 lips, sets of
lips? Be like when I shake your hand, it's like 5 little tiny kisses.
Oh,
on your hand. Dude, it's awesome. I don't care what you say. It's the perfect place for lips.
Clearly on my throat so I can do some sweet black hole cosplay.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. Good fucking
that's,
reference.
That's
for
not,
those of you who haven't read it, just watch.
That's not fair. Fucking asshole.
I would, this is gonna sound so bizarre. And
let me guess, right above my butt.
No, I put him on my butthole.
I knew it. Fucking.
Because why not?
Because fingers. That's why. Because I want to give 5 little tiny kisses every time, dude.
I want to
high five with tiny kisses.
Well, see, the thing that gets me about this though is like, are you moving your lips and not your mouth? Because then you just have lips with no hole.
Yeah,
okay,
like,
in that case,
if, like there's just no lips here.
If that's gonna be the case, then on right on the bridge of my knuckles.
Yes.
So every time I hit somebody,
put
it's
some
like
lipstick on
like,
it and just.
I can't remember what song there is. But it's like a fucking
kiss with
heart,
a fist. Is that what you're talking about?
No, there's a song that's, that has the lyric "Kiss My Fist," and I can't remember what hardcore band sings it.
Somebody, I was please write it. The Machine, "Kiss with a Fist."
Yeah.
If we had Google here, he could look it up. Thanks, Jeff.
I gave a hit, you gave a smack. I love that song by Florence. I do love Florence and the Machine.
I do too.
And I'm in love with Florence.
She's hot.
And I would like to see her machine, if you know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying.
Next question.
Drink.
I don't have any more coffee. It's gone.
Segway. All right, continue.
Or is it my turn? That's because I'm not going to... Jay, I love you. I'm not fielding this last question. There's just no way.
Just say it. Say what it is.
Would you rather have your dick sucked by a good-looking guy or an ugly guy?
Honestly?
I mean, honestly, a good-looking guy.
Good-looking guy, yeah. That's a much...
Do you want a blowjob from an ugly chick or a cute chick?
Wait.
Oh, God.
Oh, God damn it.
It's the belief of some that fat chicks give better blowjobs.
That's so true.
A fat dude probably gives a better blowjob.
He didn't say fat. He said
unattractive. Because a fat person
I'm shallow.
So anybody fat is automatically unattractive. No,
that's not true, but it's easy to assume that someone
I'm fat, Chris.
Both be ugly and fat.
It's more reasonable to believe that since you are fat, therefore, you are probably ugly, you sack of shit.
Not guaranteed.
Thank God there's no one else in here. Oh my God. Well,
there's the barista
is probably laughing at us. But
she's cleaning the
espresso machine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
she's backwashing.
Sorry, you guys have to be PC all the time.
We don't have to be.
Whatever.
What part of last week, of Sunday's episode was PC?
Oh,
please
God.
Tell me, because I'd like to know.
Yeah, that was.
Next question.
Next question is on my Facebook from Charlie.
Oh, God.
And this one is, who would win in a fight, Data from Star Trek or R2-D2? This is a great question. Data from Star Trek or R2-D2? And I'm looking at this not from a fanboy standpoint, too.
To quote Voltaire, he's fully operational and anatomically correct. R2-D2 doesn't have fists, man. What's he gonna do? Poke him with a little screwdriver? Like,
dude, he's got little rockets, and he's also got a little cattle prod that he's got. He can also, like, it depends on where you put them, technically. Because if you put him on a place that has, like, technological stuff at, like... Because R2-D2's been in fights before, and he lives every time.
Also, that was Voltaire.
That's prequel trilogy R2, not
right.
Original trilogy R2.
That's
no,
doesn't
but I mean,
exist,
he's still R2. Like he flies around on Endor and he like shocks people and stuff.
I don't remember any of that happening.
I just watched it this week.
He does the cattle prod thing.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember from Endor is that he raised up because of Luke. I remember him flying.
I hate that they added boosters to him in the
prequels.
But anyway,
No, and just to clarify, that's Voltaire the musician, not Voltaire the philosopher.
I was going to say it was like...
for some reason in my head, I was like, he's clearly not talking about the French philosopher. He's got to be talking about that goth piece of shit.
In all honesty, if you put it in a like perspective of, okay, this is where... if it's put like on a ship deck, like on the hull or whatever... Like,
I'm imagining this is Data versus R2 in the training stage of PlayStation All-Stars.
Oh, dude, Data. Every
the holodeck?
Yeah.
In a holodeck? Oh, yeah, dude. Data. Just, and not even close
that
either. He just wrecks him.
That little trash can is Wily, though.
He is, and he's my favorite hero from Star Wars, so this tells you that I'm being very objective about
this. Well, he and Chewbacca are secret agents of the Rebellion and have been since its formation.
Dude, I know. That's one of my favorite things ever. I love that little spiel. It's it's so fantastic. I give it to Data.
I'd give the edge to R2.
I don't buy it.
What is buzzing?
Nothing.
It's the music.
It's just going...
It's my head. From the coffee.
I give it to Data.
Yeah, okay. I gotta agree.
Data?
Yeah.
I really think that little trash can could just...
I want to believe he could, but
I'm
realistically...
Like, I'm really picturing, like, hologram flash in the eyes, and then cattle prod in the dick, and then... Like a flan in a cupboard.
I like that. I like that a lot.
There is some truth to that idea, though. So, I mean, I guess I can't count.
And then he feels bad, so he's like, ooh.
But also, Data's AI is far more advanced.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that might cause him to overthink a situation. Because how many times have the Enterprise gotten into trouble because Data was overthinking things?
That's true. And now, if you put R2's mainframe into 3PO's body,
it's too stiff.
No.
He doesn't have any bloody fucking elbows.
R2-D2, he's in 3PO's ass.
Yeah.
Clip this little rod. Just... All right, that's fair.
Come on, there's a solid 20 years of special effects difference between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of them's a guy.
Next question.
All right.
his name's Brett Spiner. Just saying.
We actually, in terms of more questions that we've received, what I might go ahead and do, because we haven't received quite as many as I thought we were going to this week, we might go ahead and pull it back to one of the previous...
I've got one from Logan Smash.
Yes, do that one, and I'll see if I can pull up the ones from the previous...
He's got like 3 follow-ups to it, though.
I don't care, just do it.
Who was the scariest video game villain you ever fought?
Oh, that's right.
I got mine. I thought about this one, too.
I did, too. I remember reading this and being like, I do have one for this. I just... I'm kind of... Mine wouldn't make sense to most people.
Chris's is Ganon.
No.
Mine is Ganon. I'm trying to remember his name.
I
knew somebody was going to be
Ganon.
Mine
is Ganon. Like, because the first time I saw that, it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because that's terrifying.
Yeah.
When you're that young, that is totally terrifying.
Somebody's gonna yell at me if you're forgetting.
I mean, I didn't play a whole lot of like video games when I was younger, so I didn't, you know, have that. Although I will say the Smash Brothers, the Master Hand is pretty scary because it's just a severed hand.
It's just a severed hand.
And that's kind of.
I played a lot of video games when I was younger, but I was just so horrible at them that I could never beat them, so I never got to face the final boss.
Dude, Ganon's scary to me.
Ganon's pretty scary.
The entirety of Majora's Mask is scary. The whole game.
You know, part of why Ganon's not scary to me is because I got started on The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Where he's
a spike.
He's this big.
He's Ganon.
Yeah, mine's Ganon.
Okay.
Like, and it's after he goes like Mecha Ganon.
Who would win in a fight? Ganon or Mecha Ganon?
So I'm gonna give a quick shout out to Monkey Andross.
Okay.
But Sigma from Mega Man X.
Okay.
Because he's got 12 forms, and it's not even like, he doesn't look scary, he doesn't act scary, but it's just
like, and that's one of those old school Capcom games, like, that you, like, once you find out the pattern, and then you get that life bar down,
yeah,
he switches it up, but it's 12
right
times.
And that's the thing, and so part of it is any good brawler, side-scroller, shooter type game, the final boss has unavoidable attacks.
Yeah.
And so when you finally figure out the pattern to where you can almost get out of the way of the attack, you see him charging up, and your heart just drops, and you're like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Got a quarter bar of health, and this guy's about to hit you again all over my face.
See, you took it from the perspective of it scares me because there's no way I can beat this boss.
No, but that's not what's scary about it. What's scary about it is that goes off, and it's like knee-jerk reaction. I threw my controller at the TV and now it's broken. Like, yeah. Terrifying. It's like something jumping out at you in a horror movie because you're so invested in it that you're like, ah!
Yeah.
I got 2, and they're both from the same game. Both of them from Bioshock Infinite, because that's like my top game of the year. And literally, like, this was the most tense I've ever been during a video game. The Boys of Silence.
Just sounds terrifying.
Oh, dude, wait, okay. So at a certain point in the game, you're crawling through Comstock Mansion, and like there are all these patient, like what seem to be like insane mental patients, but wearing the heads of the founding fathers, and they're just sort of like blind and they can't see you, and they're just sort of feeling around, and there are these things that walk around called the Boys of Silence, and they have like basically like they, you can see their field of vision because their eyes are flashlights, and they've got this insane head where like there's heads on all around their body, and like they have ears that are like megaphone, like giant megaphone. They're terrifying looking. So if they see you, they sound an alarm and everything comes running at you. So like your butthole is puckered the entire time through this. So you get to this one point, you pull a lever, you turn around and there's one right behind you. And it's the worst jump scare I've ever experienced in my entire life. And have say, like, I've said this seeing a ton of horror movies. I jumped. Like, I dropped the controller and jumped because he turn around, he's in your face, and then he goes, bam, and then you get fucking bum rushed by a horse.
God.
And the second one, even though you never fight him in earnest, is Songbird. That thing is omnipresent throughout the entire game, and every time you come across it, you're just scared for your life.
The blimp?
No, Songbird's like the big he's not the big bad guy, but he's like the...
Daedalus and Resistance 2 is pretty fucking scary, too.
Yeah. And what's the fucking AI's name from System Shock 2?
Oh, throwback.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that way out. But that thing was pretty fucking freaky, too. And GLaDOS. And the most amusingly malevolent way.
Alright.
Especially since she digs on your fucking self-esteem a lot. She calls you fat. Follow-up question. Who is the hottest fighting game video game character? I feel like...
I thought it was non-fighting.
Non-fighting game video game character. Easy answer, Seamus Wren.
Ruby from WoW.
Oh, yeah. And Bayonetta. Her entire outfit is made of hair.
I finished Wet, and it's a god-awful game.
Oh, it's
just
terrible.
Because I wanted to watch her ass longer.
Yeah.
We're
red-blooded American.
This is going to be way too telling.
What?
It's Sylvanas, queen of the, I'm sorry, I can't.
Spit it out.
Okay. She's the queen of the Forsaken, and WoW.
Get out.
I'm sorry, like, the animation for her is so, it's so hauntingly sexy.
Oh, jeez, we're moving on.
What do you want from me, man? I've played, like, 5 video games ever. Like, and that's the one I've spent the most time on. Get off me.
And a follow-up to the follow-up question. Would you rather have be tasked with drinking Honey Boo Boo's mom's bathwater twice a week or having functioning penises for fingers?
The latter.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
The latter.
We talked about that.
With lips on them.
That was on the podcast that we talked about that, right? Yeah.
I think. Oh, maybe he's just making a reference. Because I don't think I was there for that would you rather.
The lips on them.
No. It wasn't the would you rather, but we talked about penis fingers.
Yeah, we did talk about dick fingers.
Yeah, definitely dick fingers.
For sure. Like,
yeah. Easy answer.
Dude, I...
Zero suit Seamus Aran, you don't... Really?
Oh.
Penis fingers.
2-0.
Somebody sent us a challenger.
Oh man, I think Max sent us a question, but I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's that stupid, have you ever gone so far as to?
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
You made that funny internet joke that was funny like
once
12 years ago.
Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Okay, so since my phone isn't loading anything from the interweb,
I don't see a comment.
Yeah, I'm just whatever.
What were some of the questions? One of them is, what is the menu?
Oh, yeah. Max Didson, has anyone really been far, even as decided to use go want to do look more like? He screwed that up because it's actually be more like. People don't think it be
Max.
Like it is.
But it do.
42.
Oh, that's actually something that we...
That's a relevant
answer. Well, we're also...
We're getting close to closing.
In 5 minutes, so...
Well,
yeah. I mean...
We can take it next door.
42.
Hopefully.
We'll see. We'll check it out. If not, we'll do a precursor outro, and then completely.
Well, we could just
and
finish
then we'll,
it on the porch,
and then we'll redact it.
Yeah.
I gotta pee.
So yeah, I actually, there was the one question that Kira gave us that we've kind of semi answered. Actually, we kind of totally answered it. It was the favorite animes thing because we got brought back up.
Colin did not.
Colin didn't get it. I'd love to hear his answer. But I'd love to hear his answer to it because, you know, we did talk about, you know, some of our favorite and least favorite animes and whatnot and things that we think people should watch. And I stand by my choices 100%. Like, I really do. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. I'm going to think you're wrong.
Make something up. Put it on my Wikipedia.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna say that the next thing that I think everyone should see that's an anime is is called the Red Kazoo. So go ahead and look up the Red Kazoo, because it's awesome, and you should definitely check that out. It's really good. Colin, we answered a question that actually Kira had posed to us that got reposed to us after you left the comic, or the Black Adam Friday event.
No, you're totally fine. We can talk in the dark, it's cool.
So after the Black Adam Friday event, which was, she asked about our favorite and least favorite animes, and then it got brought up by one of the people we had sitting in with us.
Okay.
So, real quick, favorite and least favorite anime?
Favorite anime of all time. Does this include series and movies?
We just did series.
Well, I didn't.
He did a
movie,
yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of exposure.
Was it an OVA or no? I'm just kidding. Getting deep.
Hentai.
My
that's a movie, right?
My
oh, wait, that's a lot of movies.
La Blue Girl.
Dude, La Blue Girl.
My favorite anime of all time. Bebop, dude. Always
that
gonna
was
go.
Mine.
Always gonna go with Bebop. Least favorite? Bebop. No, I'm just kidding.
It ruined me.
My least favorite. I'm gonna get shit on for this. I know I am.
Almost as bad as Evangelion.
No, I'm not gonna shit on.
I know you love
Evangelion.
It.
Me
and John don't. We think it's stupid.
I'd say it's a tie for first. Cowboy Bebop and Fooly Cooly. Even though Fooly Cooly's only 6 episodes.
I mean, it's brilliant.
I'm just a snob. I'm sorry. Least favorite?
I like it a lot.
I think it's tremendously overrated because it's the only anime anybody ever wants to fucking talk about.
What, Bebop?
No,
Fooly Cooly.
It's good.
There's some other
things. It's overrated.
Least favorite.
Least favorite.
And then we'll move.
Naruto. I'm going to get shit on
No, you're not. Because it's somebody at the. I believe. Actually. Somebody who was sitting down with us also said Naruto.
Basically, any of like the Shonen Jump, like. Mass market, literal, it's like such little artistic license or actual story depth.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
I don't give a shit.
That's fair.
But there are so many that I do love.
Yeah.
You know, like, I fucking love Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Brotherhood's so good.
I fucking love Hellsing.
Yes.
And what else?
Which should have gone on longer.
Well, they also have a more recent one. It's more based on the manga.
It is, and it's not great.
And my dream is for them to make an anime series directly based on Blade of the Immortal, which is my all-time favorite.
You want to walk and talk and do this up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it up.
Let's do that. Thank you guys so much.
Yes, thank you for having us in here.
Dude, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. We're keeping you up, and I don't want to do that.
One thing, though, that I think is kind of funny about animes in general, YouTube... is the fact that with a lot of animes, it'll stop before what you think is going to be the end. Like, Hellsing did it.
It'll stop before the logical conclusion.
Not only that, but, like, a lot of animes go through one or two seasons, and then they're done for no reason. And a couple of them that do that that really upsets me that they do that, Hellsing is one that does it. Trigun finishes. Trigun finishes.
We finish it strong, but like
guys,
we just
tore it camp to the iPad.
That's fine.
We did.
But no, the one that really gets me is Berserk.
Oh,
just stops in the middle of everything.
Because Berserk, the thing about Berserk is like in between the action scenes, it's just like just stretched the fuck out.
Yeah, it's really just it's kind of it's just random like bullshit. Like, it's talky. It's super talky.
Dude, I got into Berserk because of the video game on the Dreamcast, Sword of the Berserk.
I love the Dreamcast. It's still my favorite system.
Still. But I'm just saying,
Jack
like...
Jack Ryan Radio, dude.
What?
Oh, Jack Ryan Radio. Dude, I had it when it was the Japanese version before it came out over here. Jet Set Radio.
Jet Set Radio.
Oh, my God. Like, I remember me and, like, all my nerd friends in middle school got that game. And we were just like, dude, have you gotten to this part yet? It's so fucking cool.
Plus the music.
Oh, I know. That was the first game I ever listened to that I was like, this is a good soundtrack.
I would kill if Sega put that on digital. Like, I don't know.
That'd
if I don't
awesome.
Want a remake. I don't want maybe just update the graphics a little bit, and I'll buy it. I don't care what. I don't care if it's like a full $60 price. Release,
you got to
I'll
fruit boot around and fucking tag things. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And I love like the mini game, the tagging mini game. That was like the birth of QuickTime events. That and Shenmue. were the birth of QuickTime events.
Good QuickTime events.
Good QuickTime events.
I mean, like,
not like Resident Evil 4 QuickTime events, which gave you a millisecond to respond.
Yeah.
Or where it's like, hey, you want to watch this game? Mm.
Some games that sell at that, like Heavy Rain.
Yeah, but that's the whole premise of the game. It's not God of War where you want to be fucking shit up and then
yeah,
you're watching. Or Heavenly Sword, really.
Heavenly Sword is more
that bitch.
That Noriko.
God.
Fucking cunt.
Dude, in PlayStation All-Stars, she's such a bitch.
She's so cheese, dude.
Were you there that day when I played Noriko against everybody at Venture?
No. You just cheese-dick them.
Oh my god, we played one game. I got... Oh man, how many... I got 15 kills with her?
Cheese-dick.
15, man. 15!
Guys, the more we talk about video games, the more I realize how much Wet influenced my
Hatred?
Aesthetic sensibilities.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Because it's... Oh, sorry.
I'd actually...
play that game again.
Since we're on the topics of favorites, I have a question for us. It's something I'm very interested in, because I actually have already told the answer to mine, but aesthetically, what is your favorite video game?
Aesthetically?
Yeah. I mentioned mine, I think, last week.
This is a weird thing, like, legit, I don't know if I just have Wet on the brain now, but, like, that's the only part of that game that makes it playable. The mechanics are awful, the story is lacking.
Yep.
And it's just all around a terrible game, but the whole thing's a grindhouse film with psychobilly music in the background.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And that's amazing.
It's like Quentin Tarantino got together, like, with Grasshopper, Suda 51, and made a video game.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. I would say...
Heavy Rain also, since you mentioned that, has a really fucking cool aesthetic.
I would say as a game, as art,
yeah,
Heavy Rain is up there. It's an experience that I think everybody should do. In terms of pure aesthetics,
Scott Pilgrim's also amazing because
they nailed it.
Yeah,
and there's so many just passing, just understated references to get the. Okay, so half of the game is the last level, and a quarter of the game is the five forms of the final boss. But
it's nuts.
But these okay.
I've
so
watched Let's Plays of it.
There's the first quarter of the last level, which is all new, but the second, so the last half of the level portion of the last level. Is the last level from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Yep.
And then you find a secret shop, and you buy E-Tanks.
Yeah. My favorite game aesthetically in terms of purely design and the way it looks is Portal. This is the first Portal. Like, it just...
That's fair.
It just...
It's a beautiful game.
The ominousness... Is that a word? Ominousness?
Omnicity.
That
sounds better.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think that's a word either.
I don't care.
I don't think there is
term
for that.
But the way that, you know, and Valve is really good at this in their storytelling. There's no cutscenes. It's just things that happen that you either pick up on or you don't.
And that's fine. Also, the tone shift. The tone shift is brilliant.
Yeah. Tonally, it's like...
Buh. Because you're like, oh, when am I going to get out of the training? Oh, I guess I'm never going to get out of the training. Oh, shit. I'm out of the training.
And all the little things you can find. Like, I'm not going to say the meme that came out of it, but we all thinking it. We all know what it is.
Yeah, well, but there's just hidden rooms with, like, just chicken scratch everywhere. Like,
yeah.
My favorite aesthetically, and I talked about it last week, I'm going to talk about it again. Shadow of the Colossus, man. Like... That is a beautiful game.
Both Ico and Shadow of the Colossus are beautiful.
Just, I mean, like, I had never seen it until Jay from Mellow showed it to me. And when he showed it to me, I was like, I don't play video games, but I want to play the shit out of this because it's so beautiful.
In terms of game as art.
Yeah, it's, and like, the gameplay is really cool too.
Yeah.
Because it's very understated. And it's just, it's such a beautiful thing.
It's the most
thing.
Beautiful puzzler ever made.
I'll say one thing about game aesthetics.
How did I just drink a double espresso drink and I'm yawning?
Right. I don't know. I think one of the things I love about...
Conker's Bedford is pretty brilliant, too.
Well, there's one game particularly that I think of in terms of aesthetics that I really like the way that it's progressed. And I got to say that a game that's progressed really well over the years of its iterations of it, I love the way Final Fantasy has changed.
Because yeah, it's super anime and it's
that's forgivable.
I mean, yeah,
given that it's Square Enix.
I mean, but it's it's a really pretty game.
Yeah.
And it's just and it's super flowy. Like, it's not just that the aesthetics are good, it's that when you're playing it, it feels like the lines on the characters are real. Like, it feels natural. Kind of like the way that I wished Dynasty Warriors felt.
Yeah.
I wish Dynasty Warriors felt like that, but it's so choppy.
It's just hack and slash, too.
Yeah.
Okay. To the game. So since we're on the topic of game design,
this is like a good prelude to the eventual video game
episode. 2 weeks.
What about best game mechanics?
Ooh.
Jesus.
You want to mind?
Yeah.
Skate.
Okay. Skate. Yeah.
It feels like you're riding a fucking skateboard.
But I can do it with my hands, which I'm a lot more coordinated with.
Yeah.
You know, I have a really weird sensibility about this one because, like you guys know, I haven't played
you're
a lot
of
games.
You're more of an MMO guy.
I mean, and for mechanics and MMOs, I do have a very telling thing. But also, like, if I'm going to choose one game that I think has the best mechanics of games that I've really enjoyed playing, Command & Conquer Red Alert 2 was probably the best RTS I think I've ever played. And I love StarCraft and I love Warcraft. And I love those RTSs, and they're great games.
They definitely have their faults.
They do, but I cannot really find anything wrong.
Solid team.
Red Alert 2 is one of the most solid games I think that's ever been released.
I would say, and I hate to repeat myself, but my favorite game mechanics of all time, and I'm not that much of a Valve fanboy, but I hate Portal.
Their engines are incredible.
Oh, yeah,
for everything.
Yeah, and to realize that that's based on a there is still lines of Quake source code in there.
Yeah.
But I like...
I miss Quake.
The only weirdness to Valve games is the carry mechanic.
Hate it. just fucking arbitrarily floating in front of you.
You walk past the wall and the thing's just like stuck on the wall.
Well, which is really cool because Portal explained that and used that.
Right.
They had a grab.
It makes sense
the
in Portal.
Had a grab mechanic.
But it does not make sense in Half-Life.
I enjoy logic puzzles a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I like Sudoku and stuff like that. Anything that I can figure out by logic without something having to literally sit down and explain it to me.
Like Myst?
Yeah. Can't, like, miss, there's no logic to it. It's like, oh, it was that one random button that you forgot to push, and now you're stuck on the island forever. Yeah. Have fun in the library.
Well.
No, I enjoy puzzle games like that.
I like puzzle games.
I like puzzle games that I figure out, like, when I'm done with the puzzle, I'm like, I should have figured that out 20 minutes ago.
You know what my favorite cursor mystery game is? The fucking Scooby-Doo game on Sega Genesis.
Never played that.
It is incredible. If you like cursor mystery games, it is actually phenomenal.
I'm excited about Tim Schafer getting back, and Double Fine getting back into adventure games, like Monkey Island and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stoked about that.
Do you guys remember Paperboy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Grindhouse Paperboy 3 movie trailer? Look it up. Somehow they figured out how to make it look like this, but it looks like it was shot on a Canon 1987 VHS camera with like shitty effects and like it's a Grindhouse movie trailer. It's brilliant.
I hate to contribute to the
fanboy. It's like Paperboy 3 to the death or something like that.
I hate to contribute to the fanboyism of this, especially considering the number of friends of ours who are fanboys of it and whatnot, but the original Pokemon game was brilliant. It was a brilliant game.
I would say it was
a really brilliant game.
It helped me
game.
Get into turn-based RPG.
I think it was conceptually a good idea. I think as far... Because they basically took a turn-based role-playing game and made it so that it wasn't a turn-based role-playing game.
Yeah.
But for someone who's actually into that, it's a bit watered down, even compared to...
But it was a brilliant idea.
I would say it was for everybody who grew up in the generation of gaming that we did. It was a lot of people's first introduction to the grind.
Yeah, because leveling in terms of like when you're playing the other games and stuff, and like if you're playing some of the older Final Fantasy, like Game Boy games and stuff, and you actually have to level grind those out and stuff.
It's kind of obnoxious, actually.
Well, but you're not feeling it the same way you're feeling level grinding your Pokemon.
Because you have an attachment.
Well, it's not even just that. It's just that, like, I don't mean it as in, like, oh, man, like, oh, yeah, I love the... It's not the I love the level grind thing. It's, what it is in the old Final Fantasy games, it doesn't... Well, in the Final Fantasy games, it doesn't feel grindy to me. It feels super grindy in Pokemon because you have to level the Pokemon to get to certain places because there are level caps on things. Whereas you're just exploring around you're just exploring around.
But to me, dude, if I'm gonna level grind, I don't want to be told you can't do this. I want to be told you can't do this by, oh, you just got fucked.
You got wrecked.
Yeah,
you got wrecked.
I think that's why I like the old Final Fantasy stuff.
That's happened to me in a couple times in a couple video games. Like Batman was one of them, where I tried to go do a challenge area.
You remember the original Mario for Game Boy that you couldn't save?
You talking about Super Mario Land?
You couldn't save.
Yeah.
Which means that you were never going to get to the end. Yeah. Ever. But yeah. I think today is good for a short episode.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. Colin, go ahead and take us out.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and wrap everything up, guys, because people are starting to come outside to smoke because we're at a bar.
And I have to use the bathroom.
And I want another beer.
Yeah.
Well, thanks you guys very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed. Once again, always hit us up with questions, comments, concerns, bullshit, and booby pictures. We don't really care. You can reach us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter and Instagram at InRedacted. And you can all lowercase. And you can reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/NameRedactedPodcast.
Yes.
And then
because if you go to /NameRedacted, it's just some fat guy's face.
So most of Facebook. And you can reach us at Gmail at NameRedactedPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you're not subscribing, make sure to go to feeds.feedburner.com/NameRedacted.
Yes, that's the easiest way until we get iTunes worked out.
We're going to call and yell at them pretty soon.
Yeah, because I have to as well.
Yeah.
But please listen up. We've got some great stuff coming up, and we will talk to you soon. Go out and touch some butts. Signing off from Name Redacted Podcast, I am Colin Norris.
Alexander Fulmer.
And I'm Chris Nielsen.
Go out and touch butts, guys. Thanks.